This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes.
There's the siren. Arms in the air. That has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
But your boys can't get enough when the girls don't need your love. Cool says boys don't cry.
This is Gay FL.
That's right, you're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show, and these are your hosts, Brendan.
And Chris.
And we are very excited to be here. For those of you listening, how is everyone going?
We hope everyone is going amazing, and we are going to be talking some smack tonight, so if you want to join in on the conversation or send us a message, 0427 JOY949, or just reach out to us on the app.
Exactly. But get into your comfy sweatpants and sit down and relax, because there's a couple of things we want to chat about. But before we do, I need to throw back to the song we opened with. That was Hilary Duff's Fly. For those of you that don't know, I am super excited, Chris. I don't know about you, but my elder millennial self, I was able to nab Hilary Duff tickets today. I know it's not a Hilary Duff show, but look, I'm excited.
I don't blame you. I know you're, I think you're a little bit more excited than me, but I'm genuinely excited by your excitement.
Hilary Duff was my noughties. I'm very excited. You know, when I was a disgruntled youth, she was, she was kind of, I don't know how to describe her.
She spoke to you.
She spoke to me
with
so
her poignant lyrics.
Her poignant lyrics. I mean, so yesterday, why not? Bangers.
If like, the light is off, then it isn't on.
One of the greatest lines. I think she should be the grand final performance this year, 2026. I mean, it's only a few months after, the grand final that she's here. But, more importantly, Hilary Duff tickets. You got some amazing tickets today. Tell me.
I did. I don't know if you have caught the news around there, people, that AFL tickets have gone on sale. And we get GA membership, so we upgrade to the games that are really important. And I was so excited today. On the train at like 8 in the morning, and I'm not good at that time in the morning, I logged on and managed to find amazing upgrade seats for Dreamtime at the G.
Oh, my God. We haven't been to Dreamtime for maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm so excited because I think we know what such an amazing game it is, but also the performances, some of the opening, everything is, it's such an important round, especially for the Indigenous community, and the representation and the visibility is amazing. But it's also just such a great game. Like, it's a celebration of so much talent.
There's a lot of passion in that game, and I'm so excited we'll be there on level one in row three, which is going to be great. And I can't wait for the season to start.
I cannot believe it. Like, when the tickets were announced that they were on sale, it's actually starting to hit me. Like, the last couple of weeks have kind of been like, there's this many days left until the footy starts.
Yeah.
And now that tickets are available, I'm kind of like, wow, I need to get myself together and actually work out. We need to sit down and work out what games are actually going to.
I know. We are going. I was looking at that earlier. Katie, if you're listening, I've sent you two if you want to come with us.
Very excited. Very excited.
She normally listens to our show, so I had to give her a shout out.
Yeah. But, did you want to – I think we're opening with good news. Hilary Duff, Dreamtime. There's some more good news.
I mean, I buried the lead. If you caught our episode last week, and if you didn't, go back and listen to it because it's amazing on the podcast at joy.org.au/GayFL.
And wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yes. So we interviewed the amazing Natalie Krimsky, who's president of the Kyneton Women's Football Club, about their plight to get accepted into country footy in Victoria and the opposition they were facing. And, it was a bit of a nervous wait at that time, not knowing if they were going to get a Guernsey this year, because they didn't last year. And it was a bit of a shame. Mm. But good news broke yesterday. They have been accepted into their local league and will get to play the full season for 2026. Natalie and the women there, we are so proud
so
of
excited.
You. We are going to do everything we can to get to your first game. So stay tuned for more on this later, everyone.
I am so, it's, the world is a complicated place and we know there's a lot of dark things going on, but I'm really touched my cold dead heart by all the support that got around this team. Like the community, media figures, Jacinta Allen, Marnie Vanell, everyone got around this team and the support was overwhelming. And they, you know, they fought really hard and they faced some adversity. I mean, obviously, they had some really nasty comments and some really... I won't get on my soapbox.
No, we're going to go higher with this one.
So, I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy for the team. And yeah, they had to go, the Wedgetail Eagles. Yes. They have to go with their new name.
Yep.
But I'm really excited for their season to start. And I want to be there at the first game cheering them on. And I know there's going to be such an amazing, infectious crowd. It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be amazing. And I don't want to speak out of turn for Natalie and the girls down there. But I know that it really meant a lot to them. The support, the people that got on board with sharing their change.org petition and sending the messages. So very, very happy to be leading with a good news story this week. And I believe there is more coming up on that tomorrow on Drive. So stay tuned for that too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, that's a wonderful story. But there's been a few other things going on. You actually stumbled across a Kane Corns story that was quite interesting this week.
Yeah, and look, I know you've had a bit of an interesting relationship with Kane Corns. You've kind of had a love-hate relationship. You don't know the guy.
I've softened because I have it on good authority that he's actually lovely, so I've completely changed my position.
Okay, yeah, but also, that's not like you. But also as well, like I think I've agreed with a lot of his takes. Like he said a lot, and he released his annual top 50 players of currently in the league, and there was some interesting omissions. I mean, Petrarca, we love Petrarca. Petrarca wasn't in it, which was a bit strange.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Petrarca. But everyone was really sure that Dacos was going to be number one. Mm-hmm. But
the Brownlow.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Poor Dacos. Just like everything. It's like that poor guy. Like, he was number two, runner-up. But number one, Kane Corns, number one in the league, was Sam Darcy from Bulldogs. And watching Sam Darcy last year, like, that kid has amazing talent. I'm not surprised. But, look at the top five. I mean, we have Bont, we had Zach Butters, Noah Anderson. Jeremy Cameron was number seven, he was in the top five last year.
Yeah, right.
The top 10 is a pretty strong top 10.
It's very stacked.
Yeah. But, any surprises, any omissions that you're surprised about?
I don't know about omissions. I maybe haven't delved as deeply into it as you. I think there are certainly, it is a stacked list and there are some big name players. There's no one on the list that I would take out. That's the kind of thing about omissions is like, who do you take out to put in someone? And obviously, Petrarca is a big omission. You know, maybe that was reflective of his season being a bit quieter last year after his injury and stuff. Mm. I don't know. I'm not Kane Corns, but it's definitely a stack list. Obviously, you know, at the top, having Butters from Port Adelaide in there, that's obviously that's no shock. Max Gawn, you know, there are some big, even Bailey Smith, Toby Green.
I was actually, I was really surprised, not badly surprised. I'm really, someone who I really enjoy watching, and I watched him obviously at State of Origin, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
Ed Richards from Bulldogs, like he's such a talented player, and he was number 13. Like he's doing well.
I just saw one that did surprise me a little bit. Riley Tilthorpe from Adelaide, from the Crows in 16. I might have even maybe pictured him a little bit higher.
But yeah. Okay.
Fair. As a forward, he's an amazing forward.
I mean, obviously, Merrin, he was 28. I'm glad he was in the top 50. But, Lachie Neale, 30. Was Matt Rowell? Surely Matt Rowell. I don't even know if Matt Rowell was in
there. Yeah, Matt Rowell should be in there. I'm sure. There he is. I just spotted him.
Oh, number 11. Yeah, there he is.
A Brownlow medalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an interesting pick considering where he finished last year in the Brownlow count. But just before we move on, I just wanted to mention quickly, because you were talking about how exciting it is that footy is back. The practice matches are starting this week.
Yeah, there's going to be some good ones. I think you might be going to one.
I'm certainly planning to. Jade, I am coming. on Friday at the Hangar, we're going to pop. This is an unofficial practice match against Richmond. This round is unofficial. Next week are the community series.
Yeah.
But I happen to have the day off work, and it would be crazy of me. I haven't seen a game live Mm. Well, for a men's game. I've seen lots of women's games. I haven't seen a men's game live in about 6 or 7 months, so I'm really keen for that.
No, that'll be fun. You'll have to report back and let me know what you think and let me know what the form's like.
I'm really interested to see the boys. We talk about constantly their new high-performance coach and how much they bulked up. I'm looking forward to seeing if they some different plays this year, maybe not just bombing it into the forward, you know. Little things like that.
Yeah, that works for me.
I'm very excited to see what the Bombers do. And also, I'm actually pretty excited about seeing Richmond.
Yeah.
I mean, the baby Tigers as they are. I think this is their sophomore year. I'm keen to see where they go with that. But the other thing I'm keen for is a couple of messages to come through, followed by The Climb by Miley Cyrus.
I can almost see it. That dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it.
This is GayFL.
That's right. You're on Joy 94.9 listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with me, Chris, and Brendan is here on the mic as well. That was Miley Cyrus, The Climb, and I love that song. But Brendan, like Jasmine Masters, I have something to say.
Go ahead.
I've got three words for you. State of Origin.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And we have a bit of a confession, our gentle listeners. Please don't be too harsh on us. We actually didn't watch it live. We hadn't, at the time, we had an elsewhere to be, which isn't like us at all.
No.
But we did catch up on it the other night. And I think, like, we knew the result. Mm-hmm. We knew who won. Obviously, we knew everything. We knew the highlights.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say that did not detract from my enjoyment from the game. It was such an enjoyable game. But yeah, you lead the way.
Literally, if you didn't watch that game and you have a casual interest in football at least, which I hope you do if you're listening to us, otherwise thanks for being here anyway. If you have a casual interest in football, the State of Origin was amazing. Now, I'm so nostalgic for this. I used to watch State of Origin, you know, Mate Against Mate, State Against State in the 90s. It was such a big part of my childhood, and I genuinely love it. I'm so excited the format is back and the fact that it's probably going to continue in some form.
Well, I mean, Andrew Dillon came out and said it's coming back for 2027.
Yeah.
It is such a success. I mean, the crowd was over 58,000.
Yeah, it was a full house.
And the audience watching it from home was over a million.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, for a game that's not for premiership points, I'm pretty sure it was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, crowds they've had at Optus Stadium for a football game as well.
Yeah, and Jesse Hogan had something funny to say about that in a pre. I think it was a post game interview. How, you know, he played over on that side. He played for Fremantle, mm-hmm. and he never saw crowds like that at Optus Oval. But no, it was so exciting, and I think. I don't know about you, but I think the concern was that the players weren't going to be really into it. Like, mm-hmm. it was kind of be sort of half-assed. Yeah. But the only negative thing I'll say about it was re-watching it on the replay, the random ads that would play. I'm not going to say when we watched it.
I don't think the editing was into it.
Oh, my God. Anyway. I'm not going to throw shade, but the replay was hard to watch. That's the only negative thing.
You mentioned about would the players be into it, and if you watched even the first 40 seconds of that game, they were into it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone came out really strong. I thought it was very sweet and very cute. Chad Warner got the first goal, which was, I love watching him. His little celebration was really cute. But
yeah.
I honestly can't say that really anyone faded into the background. Like, watching every single player, there was a couple, I mean, because Bailey Smith was kind of quiet. Yeah,
he was a little bit for him, which surprised me.
Yeah, Rory Lobb was a bit quiet. I expected him to be more into it. But everyone.
It wasn't a bad game for anyone. They were just a bit quieter than some of the others.
Yeah, there was no filler. And there was a couple of really big surprises. Mm. I mean, as I mentioned, the aforementioned Chad Warner.
Yeah.
He was, I don't think I've seen him play that well for a while. He was fantastic. Yeah,
that was better than his best in their premiership side. Like, I genuinely think Chad is amazing.
Mm.
But his form.
Yeah.
He was everywhere, and I was genuinely so impressed. Cozzy Pickett was pretty, had a great game as well, as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many. Look, I feel really bad kind of naming players that had a particularly good game, because the whole team for both sides, had a really good game. It actually really shocked me that they kept talking about how WA were the underdogs. Mm. And I guess maybe technically on paper they were. And it was even commented on the broadcast about how they fought out long and hard right to the end. I didn't expect any otherwise. I'm not sure why that was the case. But I think actually Gary Lyon said it best, and I do want to attribute this quote to him because he did say it and it made me laugh. He said that it was basically footy porn. This like stacked list, it's like Drag Race All Stars versus the world. Like it was all or Survival Australia.
It was like All Stars.
It's huge. Like
As you said, the quality as well. Like the quality. It was an over 100 point game. Like it was a high scoring game, which I don't know if anyone expected that as well. There were so many highlights. I mean, as you said, I thought Jake Waterman in particular from West Coast was wonderful.
Yeah.
But Ben King, oh my God, he really showed up.
Yeah.
Ed Richards, Bolton. Yeah, everyone was just really fantastic. Yeah. But there were definitely some highlights. And I mean, I think they were the two that were awarded.
Yeah.
The best on field.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's really hard. Look, I'm actually really glad they decided to do best on field for each side because I do think that is really important in a game like this. And I'm just going back to my messaging here. So the EJ Witten medal for Victoria was Lockie Ash, very well deserved, 25 disposals, 9 interchange possessions, 7 marks.
Mm.
And I mean, but you can't go past, I can't believe we haven't even mentioned him. For WA, the Graham Moss medal, Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, got to save the best for last. Hogan was brilliant. I mean, 5 goals. He's someone who we've talked about quite a lot. How much? I have a lot of admiration for him because, one, he's... Mm. Seems quite unproblematic. He seems like a very humble, nice guy.
And
he's spoken out about his mental health struggles and all that sort of thing. He's been very candid.
Yeah.
Plus, he's absolutely amazing to look at.
Yeah, he is.
But his talent is amazing. He's such a talented player and he deserved that Graham Moss Award. Like, he was absolutely, in my opinion, was the best.
Best on ground, yeah. And you look, and like, when we talked about him being amazing, and he is amazing.
Mm.
His 5 goals came from 13 possessions.
Yeah.
And 9 marks of those. And I'm just like, for a game with such stacked forwards and defense, how did he get that level of efficiency? It genuinely blew me away.
Yeah. And not just that, there was some really amazing, like, there was a really cool snap by Charlie Cameron. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic as well.
Yeah, he was.
Everyone was good. Like, even Merritt. Like, Merritt was, you know, running, and he was running his little legs off, and he was really out there. Like, everyone was just, I have so much praise for it. It was so exciting to watch.
Everyone was there to play, and, I mean, we could go on about Origin all night, but one thing that I thought was a really interesting story to kind of sidebar from Origin was there is whispers and a growing belief that maybe the women's are interested in doing something similar, the women's league.
Yeah.
Like there was an article that came out today where they were talking about how there is that appetite even in the off season to either do Origin or to do international rules. International rules, if you don't remember it, was Australia versus Ireland, and it was a combination of Gaelic football and Aussie rules in an international format, either in Ireland or here.
Yeah, that would be really fun. I think as well, like they did, I know the AFL women's, they did a couple of the squads and there were some great choices. We don't have to go into it, but some amazing choices. And I think there's so much potential for it. But I mean, even just, I can't get over the reception of how this was. Like, it was so well received.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some highlights. I guess one thing I want to touch upon is there was a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jacob Wiedering. He was stretched off, and nobody wants to see anyone get hurt.
No, not this close to the real season.
Not this close, no. I'll tell you what really surprised me. I mean, Wiedering, when he went off, everyone was like, oh, crap, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, it was just his maybe broken rib. He doesn't have to have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Matty Rowell.
Oh, Matty.
Done something, broke it. Did he break his hand or break his finger?
He injured his finger, and it needs surgery.
I can't believe that was the big injury of State of Origin 2026.
There was so much talk, particularly around Dacos, because he was strapped in the training leading up to it, that what if one of these players goes down? Like, what if there's a season-ending injury? And obviously, that is a really valid concern. It is kind of funny that the main injury was a finger, but he's still going to miss the first few weeks of the season, and that's something that has to be considered.
Yeah.
But we do wish him a quick recovery from his surgery, the Brownlow medalists of last year. Mm. We are going to go to some messages. I could talk about Origin all night, but we are going to go to some messages. And right after the messages is a song that I thrash every single day, multiple times a day, which is The Subway by Chapel Roan.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's Gay FL with Brendan and Chris. And if you'd like to text in, we'd love to hear from you. It's 0427 569 949.
We actually did just get a text actually here. Watching the State of Origin was very enjoyable. Everyone played well and no one gave up. Hope they can do something similar for the W. Hear, hear. I'm all for that.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I'd really like to talk about, there was an article that came out quite recently. And for those of you listening that do have, I want to give a little bit of a content warning. We are going to briefly talk about sort of eating disorders. Dyson Heppel, actually, he was voted out of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, all spoilers. But he had a really interesting chat, which has become an article. I think it was on ABC or something.
It was, yeah, ABC.
He spoke about some of the unhealthy relationship he had with food early in his career. And I thought it was quite interesting and quite poignant where, you know, he spoke about the relationship that he had with food. And I quote, you know, how he said he would, you know, he would set himself up for a target. And if he came back for an off season to your preseason and didn't hit that target, you'd be put into a group that would have to do extra cross training or some form of training to strip some fat off. And the boys hailed this group, and I quote, fat club.
Yeah.
It was a pretty vicious one, to be honest. The relationship with food and stuff was horrendous in body image and shocking. When I had a broken leg, so I'm on my crutches all off season and I didn't hit my skinny targets. So I'm in a fat club for preseason. I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
So that's a direct quote from Dyson Heppel. And I thought that was really interesting because we don't really have footballers be really open about that. Like I remember back in the 90s, Mark Harvey, an Essendon legend, actually was very upfront about he was open about his eating disorder and his relationship with food and the body dysmorphia that he did have. And I look, it's kind of like, what's that thing about visibility, how it is, it is important. Like I hope somebody, you know, especially for whoever's listening, but especially for people that are playing footy and feel like that they're not fit enough and they might be having a bad relationship with food. Yeah. I hope somebody who is so prominent in the game speaking out about it, it makes you feel like you're not alone. I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone, but I thought it was a really interesting article.
It really was. And I'd like to issue a caveat on this as well. I think I don't have the statistics, but I think we can be pretty aware that this is something that is disproportionately affecting the female community than the men's community, but it is so rare for a male to come out and publicly speak about body dysmorphia and disordered eating is the term he used. I think he said he didn't have an eating disorder, but he had disordered eating or a disordered relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's something that I also want to be clear that we are not throwing shade at Essendon for the way they ran their comeback. And this is not about that. You know, a very similar story broke a few years ago with Carlton having the exact same situation with Fat Club and with that exact same term. It's also widely publicized about how prominent it is in rugby league. Mm. So this is not an Essendon problem. This is a sport problem.
Mm.
And I also, you know, they're under immense pressure to be at peak fitness and peak levels. And, you know, there are improvements. There are things that are happening to try and improve this. I believe in the W, the women are allowed to exclude themselves from fat testing and weighing, which I think is a really positive step for the W.
We saw as well for the men, like they don't list their weight on their profiles.
Yeah, that
anymore.
Was last year. Yeah. Up until last year, the men's weight was widely talked about. It was on their footy cards. It was on their profiles, and that's been removed, which I think is a good thing. And they're also not doing skinfold tests on draftees now.
Interesting.
That's a new thing for the men's, which
But yeah, I thought that was a really interesting perspective from Dice. And for anyone listening, there is a lot of support out there. We'll put some links in our when we upload this to our podcast. But
can always refer to the Joy support page as well.
Absolutely. A good one as well is the Butterfly National Helpline. They work with anyone that needs any resources. If you know someone who is living with an eating disorder or any sort of body dysmorphia, it's a really good resource. So we'll link that. We'll link that in our episode.
Yeah, and we are going to go a little bit heavy with the next article as well. This one probably doesn't require the same content warning, but there was actually a bit of an article posted recently about the AFLW and how the league handles pregnancy. I want to handle this very delicately. I'm not an expert on this. This is not my place to really talk about it. I just want to acknowledge what's been said. The Channel 7's footy expert, Kate McCarthy, actually said that she believes clubs should be given list concessions when players fall pregnant or go on maternity leave. This is an evolving issue in the W. They are learning as they go. What has triggered this? The former Carlton captain, Karen Peterson. Now, she's a three-time All-Australian, one of the Blues' greatest ever players. This is quotes from the article. And she recently gave birth, and she was granted maternity leave, exactly like you're supposed to do in any workplace. But when she didn't play in the season when she had given birth, she was then delisted. And for the captain and a three-time All-Australian, I think this is maybe been a bit of an interesting wake up and alert to the league as a whole that there might be a different way to do it. Yeah. And the suggestion is, and I'm not offering suggestions, it's not my over expertise, but about the league taking a bit of responsibility for protection for women if they fall pregnant during their contract.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it should definitely be like any other workplace, as we know. And yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to draw attention to that. Obviously, these are some quite heavy topics, and yeah, do reach out to the Joy support pages or Lifeline or anything similar if you have any concerns about anything that we've discussed tonight. We are going to take it a little bit lighter now, where I'm going to talk about one of my many favorite things to talk about. I do have a few favorite things to talk about, but I want to talk about Tassie.
Yeah, go ahead.
But not Ramen.
No, Ramen, we're giving him a break. Leave him.
He's at home on my footy cupboard. As a plush.
He's dealing
with himself. Where he will stay. The Devils are starting to find their feet. Like, things are happening. Like, their VFL team is coming together. We want to start with a really high note, which I'd really love you to say. They announced their captain and vice-captain today for the VFL.
Yeah. I'd love to... Jai Menzies, former Essendon player, who personally I thought was quite underrated and was a great underrated player, vice-captain. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And Robbie Fox has been named their inaugural VFL captain. These are two considerably big names to come across to a VFL side. And they are building this list from scratch. But I feel the credibility that this is going to give the VFL side, and it's going to encourage people to get on board. And, you know, I'm so here for seeing the Devils play. I really want to get to one of their games when they play in Melbourne next year.
Yeah, I mean.
Or this year.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever they start, we'll see.
but also, there's a few other things that have been going on with the Devils as well. The state government of Tasmania has committed $105 million to build their new high-performance centre. There is concerns it's not enough, but it is still a lot of money for a state that size with an economy that size. I think that's pretty exciting. They're going to be granted a 99-year lease for the base.
It's a work in progress.
It is. But also, they've launched their footy academy.
Oh, that's exciting, yeah.
For anyone not familiar with the academies, it's to feed talent into the non-traditional footy clubs.
Yeah,
you know, the Suns and GWS have them and stuff like that.
Interesting,
Which is important. And that Tassie are doing this. This has been reported on Pulse Tasmania. So they've recruited 24 young players aged 14 to 17 for both the men's and women's to get them towards entry in 2028.
It's crazy. I feel like there's going to be a lot of talent there. And, you know, in a couple of years, we're going to be talking about them.
Yeah. And there's an interesting connection there who's been appointed as their inaugural coach for this talent squad. Matthew Knights, former Richmond grade. Two decades of footy experience going down with him to the South. So we are very excited for our friends in the South to get on board, and I can't wait to see more when that comes about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my Tassie chat. Can I go back to Origin?
Yeah, I'd love to talk. We didn't even praise Paddy. Paddy Dangerfield was doing really well, but go ahead.
It's really rare that we don't praise Paddy. We love him. Mm. That's odd. One of the biggest not stories associated with the W is this feud, quote unquote, between Marcus Bontempelli from the Bulldogs and Toby Crean from from GWS. If you're not across this, in 2019 there was an elimination or preliminary final where they played each other, and there is no love lost between them. There has been some words exchanged. There was a bit of an incident, a bit of a scuffle where it didn't look like Toby behaved appropriately.
Bit of hair pulling.
Bit of hair pulling. Possibly an eye gouge was potentially floated. And there's been no love lost since them ever since. Even in the lead up to Origin, now that they were playing on the same side on the Big V, was like, you know, Toby even said leading up, well, I wouldn't have a beer with him. And, you know, there was the media had a field day with this. Absolutely. Everyone loves, you know, when Toby says stuff he shouldn't. But, They made up and they didn't have a beer together, but Bont bought him a coffee.
Yeah, I think that's a credit to Bont. Like, Bont reaching out to him and offering a coffee. And there was a cute picture post game where they were both holding the cup. The AFL was very, very strong to admit that it wasn't AI. So it was actually really good to see.
I thought that was a nice shade of the AFL.
The world is healing.
maybe we can all be friends and go back to middle school.
I don't know. We'll see about that.
Do you know what we will see about? We are going to go to another break. Mm-hmm. We have a song coming up.
Sounds good.
And we are going to go to some of our fun and regular segments right after these messages.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
That's right. Thanks for staying with us today. We've gone low, we've gone high, we've kind of covered all a multitude of things today, Brendan.
And the season hasn't even started.
I don't even know what we're going to put in our show when the games come on, because we're filling episodes without them. So.
I'm sure the footy world will give us lots to talk about.
I'm sure. The footy world always gives us lots to talk about, including in one of our favourite regular segments.
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
We sure do. And Brendan, I'm going to hand straight over to you because you have a perler today.
Yeah, I feel like this is like a bit of a good news story. Speaking of the world healing, there was an article that came out recently. And just preface, for those of you that don't know, back in 2024, there was a prominent event. There was an incident where Michael Voss was a former, you know, Carlton coach, Brisbane Lion premiership player, all-around champion, Brownlow medalist. He was outside a coffee shop and he saw an incident going on where there was a stolen car flipped over. He made a citizen's arrest on the teenager. It was all over the news what a hero he was. It came out the last couple of days that the teenager actually reached out to Michael Voss to make amends, and Michael Voss has become a bit of a mentor to him. Aww. Michael Voss, nice. Yeah, that is very nice. And Michael Voss, you know, he said it was unexpected, but he's happy to, you know, sort of be a mentor to this guy who was going through a lot a year and a half later. And they have a bit of a relationship going on. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
I actually think that's really lovely. And he actually mentioned that they even kind of catch up from time to time and stuff. And that, you know, the kid's 16 and, you know, what an opportunity for him to get, you know, get back on track.
Like, we all make mistakes when we're 16. I stole a Snickers bar from Coles. Yeah. Like, we all do bad things.
We're just fortunate social media and the 24-hour news cycle didn't exist when we were that age.
Yeah. There's one more Stars Around that I wanted to comment on, and I think it's really cute. We know Andy McGrath. He's our Essendon's captain. And I can't but notice they're really amping up his social media profile, and I think it's certainly coinciding with, you know, his inaugural season as a captain.
Yeah.
And he's doing some really cute vlogs leading up to the preseason. It's really fun to watch. A day with Andy. I think they're quite adorable. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you want to talk about Andy McGrath, it's fine by me. So yeah. I am here for that. Actually, speaking of Michael Voss in your first story, Caroline Wilson made a comment on him today.
Oh, yeah.
And this is her words, not mine. It's not a direct quote. I'm paraphrasing. But she mentioned that this year, him and also Alistair Clarkson might be in a bit of strife for their jobs leading into next season, in her opinion, because of the poor form ongoing with their respective two clubs. So, I spotted that on the way in and I was like, oh, that's an interesting. I mean, Caroline Wilson knows what she's talking about, but that was an interesting thing to say. That was not Stars Around, but I just wanted to mention it because we were talking about Michael Voss.
Oh, well, speaking of Stars Around, why don't you tell us yours?
That's right. We should go back to Stars Around because that's why you are here. I'm going back to Origin, which is clearly my favorite topic to the night. And also, I'm going back to three players that I'm always talking about. And I'm sorry if you are sick of hearing me talk about them, but Chad Warner and Jesse Hogan, because they grew up in Perth, or in WA, and they were over there on the WA side for Origin, they went back to their primary school and actually hung out with the kids.
I did see that.
It warmed my cold, dead heart, and I thought it was so cute. The kids absolutely loved it. Like, what an amazing day for them.
Yeah. Did you ever have a footy player come to your school when you were a kid?
I don't think so. In Adelaide, the footy players weren't super accessible, to be honest, in when I was in school. So.
I think Dougie Hawkins came to my primary school.
It is very different over here in Victoria, how accessible the clubs are. And people that I know who follow the footy NSA have remarked on that a few times. Yeah. But that's a sidebar. I'm also going to go back to the third player that I always talk about is Toby Green.
What's he done now?
I know. I just love when Toby says stupid things. Like he's pretty good at it from time to time. But it's always, it's never malicious. He just kind of, but he's poking fun at himself. And I do like when someone can poke fun at themselves. He was being interviewed, I think it was by Abby Holmes.
Yep,
leading up to the Origin. And she asked if he had any questions that he wanted to ask about Origin. And his comment was, and this is a paraphrase, was, what's going on with fines and suspensions?
Classic Toby.
If you are not across, Toby Green being the most fined player in the AFL history. I actually have this giant novelty check from a couple of years ago. I went dressed as him to a party.
Oh, my God. That is classic. Oh, Toby, don't ever change.
Don't ever change. He amuses me. he really does. But that is all I have to say about Stars Around. But, and I also, one thing I did say, and I said this last week that we weren't doing this anymore, but what the hell, we're going to do it anyway.
It's time to look at the unintentionally homoerotic commentary made by our friends in the media with
UHC.
I'd like to say, I can't remember if I said we weren't doing this till the season start or till the game starts, and technically Origin was a game.
It was a game.
I mean, yes. So we have a very special, very limited, short version of UHC, which we would like to dedicate to the boys who played State of Origin. Starting with, Green came in and got interfered with.
Bont gobbles it up and quick release here. Gunston and who comes at him? Dacos.
And I got another one. And Green there tries to dribble it through his legs.
He's in the hands of the very capable Warner.
That's a good place to be. Oh, God. He's got time to straighten on the left, but he sprays it across the face.
Oh, my God. The boys are blowing. It's a hot time in the West tonight. Oh, sounds good.
And McCluggage has got a piece of him.
Hogan is wide open. I say that respectfully.
We always say this respectfully. I love this stuff. It's really funny. When we take them down during the game, I don't realize how bad they sound until we say them on air.
Yeah, I really don't think the commentators realize what they're saying, to be quite honest.
I don't mind because they keep giving us content week after week after week, and it just makes me so happy. But, you know, that is our Stars Around. These are our regular segments. We only have a few minutes left, and we have had, I think, almost everything we want to say about Origin. Do you have any more parting thoughts on Origin?
No, like I said, look, I'm just glad it was such an overwhelming success, and I'm excited that it's coming back. When was the last game pre this year? Was it 2020?
Well, there were exhibition matches in the 2020s, but it's actually been since the 90s, since State of Origin proper has happened. So it's been over 25 years.
Wow.
Which is a big deal. It was a big deal back then. There was a lot of nerves about what had happened. The appetite is clearly there. It's going to keep happening. The one thing, and if you ask the Premier of South Australia, he has a thing or two to say about this. I do think SA need to be there next year.
Yeah. Super quick question, though. What did you think of the new rules?
Oh, my God. Yeah, the new rules. Oh, wow. We're going to have to cover them in more detail next week. I was not disappointed with any of the new rules. So throwing up at the bounds, I do like that they're not nominating rucks now, that if you're not there.
Yeah.
Because anything that makes the game quicker, I think we can all agree is a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a fast-moving game, and it looks like it's kind of like some of the rules. You know when they released Monopoly and they had that speed die? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what they're doing this season. They're trying something out.
It's almost like Survivor Season 41. But my favorite thing is what people do when online, when there are new rules released, which is... I love watching people getting so upset about minor rule changes.
Yeah. They just need... You can read the actual... They've re-released a rule book. It's like 75 pages. It's a PDF.
I think I want to get one. I really genuinely need to.
I think you should.
Do you know what the rule that I was most excited about happening in Origin? And it's been in the W. It's affectionately known as the lasso rule because of the signal that the umpires do. So basically, anyone who follows football would generally have a rough idea that if you kick it out on the full, it's a free kick. If it bounces out or is touched before going out, it's a throw-in. What's happening now, and this has been happening in the W quite successfully, if it goes out in the center, so not in the 50-meter arcs, its last touch gives a free kick, regardless of if it was touched or bounced. But only in the 50 is when an out on the full versus a throw-in would apply because of the implications in the goal.
So in the 50, is it a throw-in?
It's a throw-in or a free kick, depending on what happens. Just the old rule in the 50s. But if you're in the center, so between the two arcs, it's last touch and will be a free kick. And it does keep the game moving quicker as well.
So does the ball go to the last possession?
No, it goes to the opposition of the last possession.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's the equivalent of an out on the full.
Interesting.
Yeah, so instead of an out on the full, it's just when it's out. It's a free kick.
And wow.
It makes them... Because anyone who's watched these games gets so frustrated when they do a ball in and it goes out and they do a ball in and it just... It's actually often used for time wasting in tight games, which is not fun to watch.
It's not fun to watch,
And so I think this, and that's why they haven't, I guess, introduced it in the 50, but I think it's a really positive change, and I can't wait to see it implemented in the men's.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be interesting. Yeah,
it is going to be good. And do you know what else is going to be good? Heading home after this show.
Yeah. For everyone listening, as always, thank you. Coming up, we want to recommend you listen to History Repeating. They're coming up right after us.
And also thank you to Wellness Wednesdays for handing the studio over to us in such a beautiful condition today.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on GayFL. We are always happy to have you here. Can't wait to see you next week. Same time, 9 p.m. Wednesdays. Be safe until then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to GayFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at GayFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.